This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministry, teaching you what God tells us are the best ways to handle money. The end results, you become totally debt-free. So there's no tricks, there's no smoke and mirrors. Just think about it, debt-free. The credit card bill comes, the balance says zero. Learn how we can help by going to CompassCatholic.org. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministry, join me today. And John, I want to open up today's show with a question. How much debt is considered too much?
Any debt at all. Is that the answer you were looking for?
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, good answer. Yeah, but John, don't you think that debt has become a way of life here in America?
Yes, I do. You know, for most people, in fact, probably for almost every person, if we didn't have the ability to have debt, nobody would own a house.
And a lot of people wouldn't own a car.
Well, they wouldn't own brand new cars.
Oh, even used cars are hard for a lot of people to buy with cash.
Depends on how far back you go. You know, you get an old enough car, you don't have to pay too much for it.
But then you have debt for keeping it up.
Do
I think I'm going to win this one, Steve.
Do I have to stop this car?
But think about it. People have, like you said, the house payment, so there's a mortgage.
That's a huge one, yeah.
There's a car payment.
Yeah.
Or two car payments.
Yeah.
There's medical bills.
Yeah.
There's credit card bills.
Yeah.
There's student loans.
Yeah.
There's Uncle Fred who gave you money because you were strapped one month and you haven't paid him back. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who don't realize they have too much debt and they just keep piling more and more and more on top of it until they reach disaster level.
Yes, but you know, of all that debt that you mentioned, mortgage, cars, credit cards, student loans, Uncle Fred, you know what? We're in control of that. We cause that to happen. I'm not including medical in that because a lot of times we don't have any say over that,
mm-hmm.
okay? That's just something that happens and you know, you can't control that. But the rest of it, you can control. The question is, do you have enough discipline to be able to control it? And do you have the desire to control it? There's a lot of people who just don't understand that.
I know what happened to us. We came to a turning point when I guess we had a little epiphany and there was a light bulb that went off in our little heads when we decided to turn things around, because it's not like we've never had debt. We were in the same position as everybody else, mortgage, two car payments, credit cards, and we finally hit bottom.
Yes.
And that was not a pretty sight.
No, it wasn't. You have to reach a point where you want to take control. For everybody, that point is different. For some people, they miss the first credit card payment in the first month. They can't pay it off because they don't have the money. That's all they need. They have a huge amount of discipline and desire not to be debt-ridden. Others of us, and I include me from my early days, said, well, I can do that. No problem. I can earn some more money. But that's not so easy.
So, we're going to talk about how to tell if you have too much debt. One of the things that may be a trigger that you might have too much debt is if you get that really sick, sinking feeling when you think about the amount of debt and you worry that you're never going to be able to pay it back or dig your way out.
Playing with debt is kind of like playing with matches when you were a kid. You remember how enamored you were with striking that match and watching it burn and then being able to blow out the flame right before it burned your fingers. You know, maybe it was getting a little bit hot, but you were able to blow it out. But every once in a while, it burned faster than you thought, or you weren't paying that close of attention, or you held the flame below your fingers, and even though it hadn't burned all the way up the match, it still was burning your fingers.
I was a good little girl. I never played with matches.
You don't know what you were missing.
Give me a break.
Did you play with me? You had brothers, so you played with matches.
Yeah, one of the games we used to play is how low can the flame go? And we used to mark with a pen on the stick. We used stick matches. And how low that thing would go. And a lot of times it would catch the fingertips, the flame.
Yeah,
I really think it's, I understand the analogy. It's a very good analogy for debt. but I think it's a boy thing. I remember one time my sister was playing with the kids across the street, and they were trying to see how much water they could put into a milk bottle. Well, unfortunately, at that time, the milk bottles were glass.
Mm-hmm.
And they shoved the hose down into the milk bottle and couldn't get it out. And the milk bottle exploded, and there was glass all over the place. A couple of kids really got hurt on that one. So there are girl things that are just as stupid as matches with boys.
Whatever you say. So when you decide you're going to use debt to pay something, you're assuming you're going to have enough money at the end of the month to pay for your purchase. But what happens when you don't? It's okay. You know, the interest charges are only going to be $4.95 this month. I can handle that. I'll be able to pay the whole thing off next month. Except, once you let it go for 1 month, two things are going to happen.
Number one, it's easy to continue justifying it to yourself that you can let it ride every month.
Well, that's the worst of the two. And what happens typically is not only you're going to let it ride, but guess what you're going to do?
I'm going to buy more stuff.
You're going to buy more stuff and put it on credit. And now, not only do you have last month's credit, but you've got this month's or debt. You got last month's debt. You got this month's debt. And it's starting to mushroom.
And you have interest rates.
Exactly, exactly. So that's adding cost on top of debt.
So that's a bad way to do it,
that's
right?
That's a bad way. And the better way is you're worried and aggravated at yourself, and you pay it off at the end of the month, and you don't charge any extra until you get it paid off.
I like that person better.
That is a much better way to go. I agree. You know, when you didn't pay last month's, and now you've got all of this month's on top of that, and you can't pay it off either. You know what's starting to happen? The credit card company is starting to snowball you. They're wrapping you up in the snowball. Instead of us taking that debt snowball and unraveling it, we're going the opposite direction, and we're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The credit card company then takes charge. Yeah, I know you can earn probably less than 1% on your savings today. But the credit card company is going to make 7 to maybe as high as 30% on your debt.
Because I'm paying them interest on the amount I've charged.
And it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow. And boom, you're smothered in a debt avalanche.
Ooh, that sounds bad. You know, that reminds me of the verse from James 4:13-14. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go into such and such a town, spend a year there doing business and make a profit. You have no idea what your life will be like tomorrow." So just because we think we can pay off our debt tomorrow doesn't mean we're actually going to be able to do it.
Well, and, you know, just think about your life as it goes on and how many times you've had plans to go someplace or do something, and boom, something happens. Those plans are out the window.
What's that saying? If you want to make God laugh, make plans. Act like you're in control.
Let's talk about some warning signs about when you might consider that you have too much debt. And the first one, and the most obvious one, you didn't pay your credit card off at the end of the month. And you're still using your credit card this month.
So that's consciously ignoring it.
Consciously ignoring it.
How about if you're ignoring the credit card statements that come in the mail? You know, we've over the years worked with a lot of people that just don't bring the mail into the house. They let it sit in the mailbox. Or they bring it in the house and stick it in a convenient drawer and shove it away so it's easy to ignore.
Yeah, what all they're doing is they're putting themselves in a situation which makes the debt seem overwhelming to them. And guess what? When you get to that point, you got way too much debt. You can't handle it.
But aren't they worried about that envelope that's sitting in there, that there's money that is owed someone? Eventually, they're going to have to look. Because if not, they're going to get a knock on the door.
You know, Steve, it's easy for people to justify things to themselves.
Oh, right. I agree.
I'm not going to look at it this month. I'll look at it next month. And next month comes along, and I'm not going to look at it this month. I got away with it last month. I'm not going to look at it this month. And then pretty soon you're into month 6, 7, 8, and you've got the creditors calling, and you've racked up huge charges on your credit card, plus all the interest. And I think just people get into this cycle of ignoring things and thinking it'll go away if they just don't pay any attention to it. And that never happens. It always comes back.
You know, if your credit card balance increases every single month, you've got too much debt. The key to turning a situation around is recognizing that the balance is growing in the first place. And we're not telling people not to use credit cards. Although, if you can't not use them and pay them off, or you can't use them and pay them off at the end of every month, then you shouldn't use them. But you should be able to zero out your credit card balance every single month. And if you do that, then the credit card is just a tool.
And the way to do that is to track your expenses from month to month and see if you're using that credit card for stuff that you really need or stuff that you just want because it's there. And once you start tracking, you can see where you can make changes and pay off your debts over time. And it's especially true when you're paying off your credit card bills or you're making minimum payments and the balance keeps increasing because the minimum payments aren't decreasing the total amount you owe.
And in that minimum payment, you know, if you look at your credit card, the credit card companies had the kind of a come to Jesus moment about 3 years ago, and the government forced them to put how long it will take you to pay off your credit card if you only make the minimum payments. And trust me, for most people, it's not in the number of days it's going to take you to pay it off. It's in the number of years, multiple, double-digit years it's going to take to pay it off. Don't get there.
Just a reminder, you're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. You can check us out by going to compasscatholic.org. John and Evelyn, being the co-founders of the ministry, join me today. And the question that started today's show that you should be asking yourselves, how much debt is considered too much debt? And we've been running through a list of those red flags that should go up in your home. The obvious ones, of course, if you notice that your credit card balance keeps growing rather than decreasing, or this one we find way too often. Credit card bill arrives in the mail, you bring the mail into the home, and then the envelope just sits on the side unopened. Evelyn, I know there are other signs that you and John have come across that will signal that you have way too much debt. Now, what are some of the other ones?
If you're living paycheck to paycheck because of all the interest you're paying and you're just squeaking by financially each month, that's a big warning sign.
You know, living paycheck to paycheck isn't any fun, especially since some people who do this really have a nice, healthy income. I mean, it's surprising sometimes that people who are living paycheck to paycheck and
have a gracious salary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they are up in six figures sometimes and bingo.
But the problem is the debt payments were consuming so much of their take-home pay that they didn't have enough money to make it or save anything for the next month.
Yeah.
So what's another sign?
A big thing is if you're considering getting married, you're going to double your debt just by getting married.
Because you both have X amount of med debt.
But think of it this way, too. I'm bringing my debt, you're bringing your debt, and now we got all this debt for the wedding.
The honeymoon. Mine, yours, and ours.
You could not only double your debt, but maybe quadruple it, depending on how much you're spending and how outrageous your wedding and honeymoon might be.
Well, and a lot of the weddings now are so elaborate and the honeymoons are over the top. So if you can keep it simple and not get into debt for your wedding or honeymoon, that's really the way to go.
Absolutely.
But if you do have debt and you work together to pay it off and you start out your marriage with less debt, you're going to have a much stronger marriage.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Than if you just keep piling on.
Did you want to do a little 60-second plug on your book, God, Marriage, and Money?
God, Marriage, and Money was written specifically for couples who are engaged to be married to help them have the money talk before they get married. So you're talking about things like, how much debt am I bringing into the marriage? What's my credit score? How much debt are we getting into for the wedding? So it's all the stuff we've just been talking about that they can talk about before the wedding. So it's not a surprise after you've been married for 6 months.
Well, and how they're going to spend money during, you know, after they're married. Are they going to just charge, or are they going to have a budget and live by the budget, you know, all those kinds of things that are really important.
Yeah, Andrew and I meet with some couples through pre-Cana that don't see eye to eye on finances, and that's exactly what happens. They never, ever had a discussion.
And that's I think that's typical. You and Audrey are probably the exception. I think you're both savers. But most of the couples we see, one's a saver and one's a spender. It's really bad when they're both spenders.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a hopeless situation.
And, you know, as an engaged couple, how romantic is it to pull a credit report on your fiancé?
Somebody should do that. And
no, I'm serious. They should bring them together, realistically.
Yeah.
You should bring to the table and talk about it. Here's my credit report. Here's my credit report. Oh, my. How come your credit report's only 350 and mine's 795?
We had one couple that we didn't ask about a credit report, but we said, do you know how much debt each other has? And, you know, we just threw that question out. And they said, not really. And the husband that quick said, I have none. And the woman goes, well, I have some credit card debt. And he said, how much? And I want to say the exact number was $18,736. He said, no, seriously, how much is it? And I'm like, uh-oh. But it turned out great. In fact, we hear from them. It's probably been 10 years, and we hear from them at least once a year.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And that's what we're all about. We're all about changing hearts and minds so people can have stronger marriages and live more peaceful lives.
Yes, yes.
So another really bad sign is if your debt payments are more than your rent or your mortgage. Well, I mean, that's like 38 to 40% of your monthly income is supposed to be your rent or your mortgage or your housing costs.
The housing costs total, yeah. And so your rent or mortgage should only be half of that, maybe 19 or 20%. So if your debt payment is equal to 19 or 20%, your credit card debt payment and your school loan and all that, ooh, it gives me the chills just thinking about it.
And that's your take-home pay.
Right. Yeah, we're not talking about your gross pay. This is net, what you actually get to bring home.
And that's a mistake people make when they're looking at their budget, is they base their budget on their gross pay, not their net pay.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Can't do that.
You can't do that. You're always going to be in the hole if you're doing that. What about if your debt stands between you and living out your dreams? If that's the case, you got an awful lot of debt. You know, there's not going to be very many opportunities for you to make great decisions if you've got all that debt and you're still focused on whatever your dream is.
Well, you may be wanting to get a new job, but you can't afford to move to a different location. You might try to start a new business, but you don't have enough capital to get you going. You might want to travel and see different places in the United States or even abroad, but you don't have enough money to travel. So debt can really get in the way of fulfilling your dreams.
Right, right. And here's one. This ought to be a, whoa, wait a minute. What happens if your net worth is less than zero?
That's not a good sign.
That's leveraging to the hilt, I think.
That's not part of the new math.
Have you ever even checked what your net worth is? You know, it's a pretty simple thing to do it. If you haven't done it, you can go onto the website, compasscatholic.org, and go to the spreadsheets, and you customize your budgets there. But there is also a net worth worksheet that you can complete. Well, you take everything, all your assets.
That's anything that's worth money.
That's worth money. So that would be like your house and your car and, you know, anything else that you have that's worth money. And then from that, you subtract all your debt. So you have your house on the top as the value, the positive value that it's worth.
A reasonable amount you could sell it for, not my house is worth $50,000, even though it's a tiny house on wheels.
They probably are $50,000.
I meant $500,000, yeah.
And then on the debit side is how much is your mortgage? So your house may be worth $250,000, but if your mortgage is worth $200,000, then your net there is a plus $50,000. And so you do that with all of your assets and all of your debts and subtract them out. You want it to be a positive number, trust me.
Otherwise, it means that you owe more than what you're worth if it's negative. Okay, another sign of trouble with your debt is if you add it all up, and it's such a huge number, you have to add it up again to make sure you didn't make a mistake and add a couple extra zeros to it.
I think I hit a wrong key someplace.
Surely there's an extra zero there.
Or how many people actually do that and go, whoop, that's it, I'm done. Let's go out and buy a car.
If you are in debt and you've got huge amounts of debt, we could actually call you a debtor.
Yes.
And, you know, you don't hear that term too much anymore. But we probably got more in existence today than we've ever had in the history of mankind.
So what are some of the bad news items about being a debtor? Like, what are some of the implications to your lifestyle if that happens?
Well, if you have to move in with your family because you can't make rent payments, that would be a pretty bad thing.
Yeah, it's always bad when an adult child needs to move back home with mom and dad because of financial issues.
Your monthly minimum payments cost an arm and a leg. You know, if you're just making the minimum monthly payments, getting out of debt is going to take forever. And if your monthly minimum is more than you owe on anything else, digging out is going to be almost impossible. So at that point, you know, debt is really ruling your life. Your expendable income is going to all your debt payments, and you're in serious problem.
You don't have any expendable income, basically.
Exactly.
You know, another way to tell that debt is ruining your life is if your credit score takes a nosedive. Because a good credit score is really essential if you ever want to buy a house, take out a car loan, rent an apartment, borrow money to start a business, or even get a job. And unfortunately, your credit score can suffer if you owe too much money in relationship to your credit limits.
Right, right. And actually, you know, if your credit limits and the amount you owe are the same,
that's a really bad sign.
Your credit score is going to be really bad because they don't like you to be 100%.
Tapped out.
Tapped out, yeah. They would prefer it less than 30%.
You know, if you're not able to save, or if you aren't contributing to long-term savings like a 401k or an IRA because all your money's going to pay debt, you are making a huge mistake because a mountain of debt creates a vicious cycle of not saving, and not saving means more debt when emergency comes up and you're not looking for your long-term welfare.
Right.
You're going to have trouble at the end.
Or what about if your credit card is getting declined, like every other time you try to use it? You know, when you owe so much that your cards aren't being accepted, even for bare necessities, it's an unbelievable telltale that things are way, way out of control.
So here's some ways to motivate yourself. First of all, add up how much money you're paying each month in interest only.
Okay.
Try calculating how many hours you have to work to pay your monthly debt.
That just became unmotivating.
That might be enough to make you make a change, though.
Yeah.
Or calculate how your total debt compares to your yearly salary.
Yeah.
Or figure out what you're not able to do because you're obligated to make debt payments.
If you really are serious about paying off your debt, take it to prayer. That's one of the best things that you can do. Then make a plan. Try to earn some extra income. Go see about a second job or overtime. Stop using your credit cards. And then make the minimum payment on all the debts except the smallest credit card. And any extra income you have, put it towards that card. And trust me, you need to check your credit score on a regular basis.
We should end this with a quote from Proverbs. Just as the rich rule over the poor, the borrower is slave to the lender. That's Proverbs 22:7. When we begin working with couples or individuals on their finances, we do ask about their credit scores. A majority of them have no idea what their score is. Either it's because it's not really top of mind or they fear it's not in the best of shape. So it's important to check it thoroughly at least once a year to see where you stand. But it also makes sense because then you get to check your credit score for any mistakes that are being reported. And before we leave, let's get to an email from one of our listeners. John and Evelyn, I'm 54 and single, and I need to get a will. I have been putting this off way too long. How do I get started?
The best thing to do is to get your financial statement together, along with making some key decisions, such as who you're going to leave your estate to, and then meet with an estate attorney who will draft your will. But always, always ask in advance what the cost of preparing the will is going to be. And Steve, by the way, let me put in a plug for our Set Your House in Order study and workbook. It's a great, great tool to help someone get their estate in order.
And I will tell you that it is a phenomenal study that will set your house in order. You can read a little bit more detailed about this Bible study by going to compasscatholic.org. Click on Bible studies that you see on the navigation bar and look for Set Your House in Order. And while you're on the website, browse around. Take a look at the other Bible studies that are available. You know, the first of the year is the perfect time to begin. The holidays will be behind you. Your calendar will free up a bit. So you've got a couple of months to start planning and thinking about that. But the first of the year would be an excellent time to start a Bible study. Now, if you'd like to start one of the Bible studies at your parish or in your home, just fill out the contact form that you see on the website and we'll get back in touch with you. And if you have any questions for John and Evelyn, by all means, send those questions. The email address is ask@compasscatholic.org. Thank you so much for listening. We post a brand new podcast each and every week. In fact, all of the shows from the recent past are also available at compasscatholic.org. Thanks for listening. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.